Welcome to Faith Victory Ministries International with Pastor Charles Entry. Please prepare your hearts and your minds to receive this great revelation from the Holy Spirit. May the Lord God bless you.
We thank God for life and for his wonders in our lives, for the good things that Almighty God is doing. Everyone is very welcome. The word of the day is titled, God's Greatest Desire for Man. God's Greatest Desire for Man. The scripture is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 103, and the verse is 3 to 5. This is going to explain what the Old Testament gospel is all about. The word says, he said, God who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. This is what all the Old Testament gospel is all about. If you break this scripture down, number one, God who forgiveth all our iniquities, that is forgiveness of sins. We are talking about what the Old Testament gospel was all about. It was about, number one, forgiveness of sins. Number two, who healeth all thy diseases. So healing of sicknesses and diseases. And number three, the Lord that redeemeth thy life from destruction. So deliverance from hell. And number four, the blessings of the living God. Material blessings of the living God. Which means God that satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like eagle. This is what Old Testament gospel was all about. This is what Old Testament gospel was all about. And today, indeed, if you'll be serving God, what spirit are you serving God with? Are you serving Almighty God with the spirit of the Old Testament covenant or Old Testament gospel? Or you are serving Almighty God with the spirit of New Testament gospel? The Old Testament gospel, it was very, very difficult for people. Because at least, you know, there were four things that the New Testament saints were not operating or are not operating with, that the people of the Old Testament were truly functioning in those four things. And at least two more things that the New Testament believer is truly being differentiated from the Old Testament believer. So the people of the Old Testament could not proclaim, you know, they could only proclaim those four things that we have just seen. In other words, forgiveness of sins, healing of sickness, deliverance from hell, and material blessings. That was just the Old Testament gospel. But the New Testament gospel, there is the fact that New Testament believers have Jesus Christ, and Jesus is an example. The Old Testament gospel, Old Testament saints did not have an example to live their life accordingly. So everything was about, oh God, forgive my sins constantly, because they keep sinning. They do not have the ability to overcome sin. They keep sinning. Oh Lord, heal me. Heal me from my sicknesses. God, deliver me from the works of darkness. Oh Lord, bless me with material blessings and all that. But today, we are not under that type of gospel. We are looking unto Jesus Christ as the author and the finisher of our faith. God did something that is so greater than anything that had happened before. by not just we standing and calling upon the name of the living God for forgiveness of our sins and continuously asking for the same thing. But God gave us power also for the believer to overcome sin by giving us the Holy Spirit. Giving us not only an example, which is Jesus Christ, but also Jesus came and the Holy Spirit was released at the glorification of Christ for everyone and each one of us to come up higher and higher and higher. There is no need for any New Testament believer to compare himself with David, to compare himself with Moses, to compare himself with Elijah and any Old Testament believer, because the last prophet of the Old Testament, John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, made a statement concerning him. He said that there is no prophet of the old that is like John the Baptist. But the least in the kingdom of God, the least of the saints in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Simply because the least in the kingdom of God had an example to look unto. The least in the kingdom of God has the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has been given for him to overcome any form of challenge against his life. To God alone be the glory. So, what is God's desire for man from the very beginning? Well, if we are going to look from the very beginning, then let's see before God created man, what God said concerning man. Genesis chapter 1 and the verses 26. Almighty God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. This is God's mind before creating man. What must we, in all, retain from this scripture here? Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. So after God had created man, in Genesis 1:28, this is what the word says. He says, God blessed them. Them meaning male and female. God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. This is Almighty God's plan after and before man was created. Have dominion, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue the earth. God brought everything at the feet of man. Almighty God brought everything at the feet of man. So, what was then God's plan before sin came into the world? We have heard what God said. His view of man before he created man and after he created man, what God put in man or said about man. But now when sin entered, because man failed in the garden, when sin entered, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 6, this is what we read. The Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? You see, Adam and Eve have failed God by disobeying the commandment of Almighty God. Every single word that we have read about, having dominion, subduing the earth, being fruitful, multiplication, replenishing, all this were all touched by the fall of man. So, to the extent that now the first children in the surface of this earth, Cain and Abel, there we go, one going godly way and the other one moving astray. And the whole situation come to the fact that Cain will kill his junior brother, Abel, because sin had already entered. And sin entered into man's life, had taken so much out of man's life. Cain, why is thy countenance fallen? And this is exactly the problem that we are facing today. Why is, or why are our faces fallen? And why isn't your face being lifted up? You see, we can, because it all depends on the type of gospel that we are living our lives onto. Today is so dangerous because Almighty God has a plan. And he has a plan for mankind. And it looks like the gospel that is being preached today is having its own agenda. Not looking unto Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith to bring the souls to Christ. But it seems like an Old Testament gospel that is being preached, because we are only thinking of what we can get here on earth and not being focused on heaven. So if we can only be blessed, our sins being forgiven, and materially we are blessed, and when we are sick, we can call upon the Lord and for the Lord to heal us. And that is more than enough for everyone and each one of us. So if we continue living in sin, it is okay. We can still come to church and comforting ourselves within that, I am okay. I went to church. And if I am in trouble, I have a God that I can call upon. And the mercies of God, the grace of God, will still see me through. This is the one that is kind of in and out, and seeing his life that way, and he keeps going. But the person is not heavenly minded by saying that, what is going to happen to me life after here? What is the purpose of God for my life to fulfill here? Am I just here so that when I'm sick, God heals me? Am I just here so that when I'm in need of something, I can call upon the name of the Lord and the Lord will just bless me? Is that what gospel is all about? Or gospel is beyond these things? The Old Testament believers, they came to find out that gospel was way beyond, but it was already too late, because everything was about Jesus Christ. Jesus must come in and the Holy Spirit must be given for the children of God to come up on a higher level. To God alone be the glory. We cannot run a race looking unto Moses. We cannot run a race looking unto David, but we can run a race looking unto Jesus Christ, Hebrews 12:2, as the author and the finisher of our faith. Because the problem that we are having today is that we cannot lift our faces up simply because we have sins in our heart. We are jealous of one another. We are envious, and our intentions to other people are not really good. So our faces are falling down. Our faces are falling down when it comes to the image of Almighty God. This is something that one truly must be looking into his own life and see the type of life that he is living and the purpose of God for a man's life, and be able to come up on a higher level. This is not a time to be looking onto anyone else, but be looking onto Jesus Christ. In the book of Genesis chapter 4, and the verse is 7. So the Lord told Cain, he said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So the man of sin today is roaming around seeking for whom to devour. A child of God with the Spirit of God has been given the power to overcome sin. We are not talking about going before God and asking for forgiveness of sin. But we are talking about standing at the time of temptation and overcome that temptation because of who you are. The spirit that is given, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, that we may or we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. That we overcome every single device of the enemy against our lives. This morning, Sunday school, we were talking about the three spirits that are operating in this world here. Number one, the spirit of man, as 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 was talking about. He said that the spirit of man knoweth the things of man. Even so, the spirit of God knoweth the things of God. Then we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. So this is three spirits that I just mentioned right here. The spirit of man, we know that man is a spirit being. He has a soul and living in the body. And the spirit of a man is given in Genesis 1:26. The Lord God breathed the breath through man's nostril, and man became the living soul. That is the spirit of man. At man's death, the spirit of man goes back. Now he's talking about the spirit of the world. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. So there is another spirit which is called the spirit of the world. And this one is extremely dangerous, because if one is not careful with the spirit of man, you can receive in addition that which is called the spirit of the world. And the spirit of the world, his whole purpose is to take the word of God, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, away from man. So he said, you know, in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and the verses 3, he said that the God of this world, 3 and 4, he said that if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. For the God of this world had blinded the mind of them that believeth not. So the whole purpose of the spirit of the world is to take a man away from the word of God. To take a man and a woman away from the gospel of Christ, so that you will stay lost. You will stay lost to the gospel. You will stay lost to God's plan. You will stay lost to every single thing that Almighty God has called you to do. Because apparently, a man cannot come to fulfillment of God's plan except the Spirit of God is at work with the spirit of man. He said, the Spirit of God, we have not received the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Which means that one can live his life in torment, in so much toiling, moving around, you know, working so hard for things that are written in his destiny for him to receive them freely. But the spirit of the world had blinded that man's life to the extent that he is working so hard for things that are freely given unto him. This is how far the spirit of the world can do to a man's life. So Genesis 4:7 that we just read. Cain, why are you jealous of your brother? Cain, why are you jealous of your brother? If you were doing well, will you not be accepted? But be careful, because the thought, you know, the type of thoughts that you are thinking, remember, sin is lying at the door. And his whole desire is to blind you from the truth, is to blind you from the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, is to blind you from the purpose of God for your life, is to be moving you from one thing to another without God's plan being fulfilled in your life. Sin lieth at the door, and his desire is to get you. But God asking us to be fruitful and have dominion And we said that we are not Old Testament believers, but we are New Covenant believers. And as New Covenant believers, receiving the word of God, be fruitful, multiply, sin shall not have dominion over you. Romans 6:14, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. You are not an Old Testament believer, you are a New Covenant believer. God cannot ask you to do something that he himself is not able to take you through. God cannot ask you to do something without him giving you the power to do so. So, and we have received that power because grace is given. Grace of God is given to man to overcome any temptation that man will be confronted with. You see, the Old Testament people, please, oh Lord, forgive my iniquities. Forgive my iniquities. And this could not be ceased because it was constant. The reason was because they could not overcome sin. But we have been receiving the Holy Spirit. We have been receiving the Holy Spirit at the glorification of Jesus Christ. He sent us the Spirit. Not only Jesus is the example of our lives, but the Holy Spirit is given so that any temptation that the enemy will throw on our ways, we will be able to overcome. We have the resources to overcome that temptation. And now having Jesus Christ as our high priest at the right hand of the Father, Hebrews 4:16. So therefore, let us boldly come before the throne of God that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So you can see, when we come before Christ, the first thing that is released unto us is the mercies of God. It is not the grace that keeps you going. It is the mercies of God. You see, that is one wrong thing, one wrong concept that people are preaching out there. It's not the grace of God that keeps you going. It is the mercies of God. Because as soon as you come before the throne of grace, the first thing that you receive is the mercies. The mercies must come in because the enemy must not have anything against your life. The enemy must not have anything to hold against you. Jesus saw Satan coming. He said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. If a man coming before Almighty God and the prince of this world has anything against man, God's perfect will not be fulfilled. So the mercies of God is the first thing that we receive when we come before this mighty throne of God. The cleansing, the forgiveness of sin, it is all given. All is given to man to be able to walk such a wonderful walk, a spiritual walk, not by sight, but by faith, and continue in the fulfillment of God's plan. How is that going to be manifested? Because not only we receive mercy, but to find grace to help in time of need. Every temptation and trial that we'll be going through, there is something available unto us that is called the grace of God. The grace of God. Now you watch this. The mercies of God keeps us going every single moment. So every step that we make is just by the mercies that you are not killed. It's just by the mercies that you are not falling. It's just by the mercies that you stand. But the grace, every time that you're supposed to fall, the grace is there to also what? Pick you up. But in only one condition, that one must come to know that there is help. There is help. And that help is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of grace, which is the Holy Spirit. You don't have to do it by yourself, because he said, faithful is he who calleth thee. He also will do it. Faithful is he who calleth thee. He also will do it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and the verses 24. Faithful is he who called you. He also will do it. Thank you, my Lord. So, God cannot ask you to do something without giving you the power to fulfill that. Power to overcome sin has been given. Power to subdue the works of the enemy has been given. So, in John 15 and the verses 5, Jesus Christ made a statement. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. I am the vine. We disciples of Christ, we are the branches. Then he said, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. This is so powerful. Abiding in Christ and Christ in you. You see, this is something that you have to watch, because I keep saying that God never works against anybody's will. That is one. Number two, God never forces his will on nobody. If you don't want it, God will not force it on you. A man's will is the only thing that can stop God's plan on a man's life. A man's will is the only thing that can stop God's plan for a man's life. So Jesus said, it's not like I come and I abide in you. He said, I am the vine. If you will abide in me, then I will abide also in you. And then once I am in you, whatsoever that you desire to do, according to the perfect will of Almighty God, power is in me. Resources are in me to help you overcome the works of darkness unto the fulfillment of God's plan for your life. No power of darkness can stand against a man that is filled with the Holy Ghost. No power of darkness can stand against a man who has been called by Almighty God for the heavenly purpose. The whole heaven is assigned to that man's life. The whole host of heaven is just backing up that man's life. There is nothing that can stand against that man's life to bring the purpose of God to naught. It is impossible. This is the reason why we have received that Spirit of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. When a man's spirit is in obedience to the Spirit of God, when a man's spirit is working with the Holy Spirit, the man is open unto heaven. God now can talk to that man. The Lord channels his plans through that man's spirit, because the Holy Spirit will talk to that man and the man will receive. The spirit of man is very, very short in sight. The spirit of man is very short inside, because we said it. The 1 Corinthians 2 and the verse 11 talks about, he said the spirit of man, 12, verse 12 talks about the spirit of man knoweth only the things of man. Even so, the spirit of God knoweth the things of God. We said it before. But the things of man knoweth only the spirit of man is very short-sighted. Very, very short-sighted. That is why there is a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is death. Man cannot see beyond, but the Spirit of God knows the future. Man can make decisions today only according to what he could see, what his spirit can perceive. But the Spirit of man cannot go beyond what man could do. But Almighty God is the only one that knows the end. Jeremiah 29, I know the thought that I think toward you, thought of peace and not evil, to bring you to the expected end. The spirit of man cannot see the end of man, but the spirit of God knows the things and the end that God has planned for his life. So every man that would desire to go according to his own ways, your own craftiness of mind, your intellect, your beauty, and whatever that you think you have, you will definitely fall, because you are not operating with the spirit of God, which means you are operating with the spirit of the world. And if you are pregnant with the spirit of the world, your sight is all unto death. It's all unto death. It is very dangerous for one living here without the spirit of God, which means that for a child of God, one must be extremely careful. One must be extremely careful, because you don't know what people can do. By their fruit we shall know them. Their deeds are according to what is operating within, from within. If the Spirit of God is not at work, you will see all kinds of things, because the fear of God is not there. And if the fear of God is not there, man is capable to do anything. This is why you see all these things that are happening in the world today. For the spirit of the world had seized people, had overtaken people's life, and a lot of things are going astray. And if the spirit of the world is taking over also the children's so-called of God that are not understanding the purpose of God, and we having one leg in the world and another leg in the church, they are bringing carnality in the church, and it is not acceptable in the sight of Almighty God. One must be careful indeed. If only we can see the purpose of God for our lives, we will come up higher and be able to do what the Lord God has called us to do. Who are you following? Apostle Paul made a statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the verses 1. Paul said, be ye followers of me. Be ye followers of me, even I also am of Christ. Even as I also am of Christ. So, Jesus Christ, by the way, is the only one that was able, throughout the whole Bible, Jesus was the only one that could say, follow me. No Old Testament believer could stand and say, follow me. Because their lives were not an example life. Moses leading people to the Canaan land, Moses could not say, follow me. Moses was always, God said, thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. But Jesus said, follow me. So Apostle Paul is saying the same thing. He said, be ye followers of me, as I am also followers of Christ. So whom you are following is going to lead you to somewhere. If you follow someone who is following Christ, you would definitely bring forth God's plan for your life. But if you are following someone whose mindset, ideas, and everything else is going towards the hidden gospel, is going towards to hide the gospel of Christ from your life, you have to know that this is all unto death. And man must come. Everything has been given today for man to know the purpose of God for his own life. We have direct contact. Nobody needs to go to any prophet anymore for what the Lord, you know, is saying about my life. The Spirit of God can talk to you. God himself had opened that channel in Job 33, from the verse 4 that we were talking about, the dreams and all that. The Lord said that it's a channel that he's using also to speak to his people. A channel that he's using to speak to his people. Dreams and night visions. So these are things that are open to man unto God's glory. The Lord cannot call you without giving you the power or the resources to overcome sin and live a glorious life according to God's purpose. Uh-huh. Three sources of power to overcome sin. Overcoming sin. Remember where we are coming from. We are talking about God's greatest desire for man. God's greatest desire for man. So the sources of power, three sources of power to overcome sin. Number one, one must be filled with the word of God. You want to overcome sin? You want to have dominion over sin? You want to have power over sin? You want Satan to have no power over your life? You want to live in dominion, in multiplication, in fruitfulness? It is not the type of gospel, the Old Testament gospel that we are preaching. It is life, life, life. Not the blessings in terms of material blessings, but the spiritual blessings. As Jesus said in Ephesians 1:3, said, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus Christ. In Christ Jesus. That is a fact. Our blessings, most of the blessings that the Old Testament people were struggling with, these things are already part of the it is written concerning our lives. A man just needs to come in line with the Spirit of God for those things to start, you know, being implemented in that man's life. You want to have dominion over sin? You want to see the purpose of God coming to pass in your life? Then be acquainted with the word of the living God. A man, David, God made a statement about David. He said, David, upon all that he is doing, David was a king. The Spirit was upon. The Spirit will come and live. David, God said, this man is a man after my own heart. Because, you know, when David had sinned against his God, the brokenness that David would show forth, the brokenness that David would show forth. So David saw God's glory. He saw God's glory. He made a statement in the book of Psalms, Psalm 37. Let me read from verse 23 to 27. Because probably you are thinking of so many things that might happen, you know, in your life to see that indeed your God is with you, or the blessings of God are at work in your life. Hear this. David said, I have walked with God, and this is what I can say. I can see that the steps of a man, he said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Good here meaning one that is in line with the word of God. One that is in line with the purpose of God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And God delighted in his way. God delighted in his way. Though he fall, it's not because the Lord is with you that you will not. The fall might come. The fall might come. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. He shall not be utterly cast down. You will fall, but you will be fallen. Temptation will come, but it will be just like as common to man. You will be fallen, but you will not be cast down. You will not be defeated. You will not be remaining on the floor. But he said that, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hands. So you will be kind of, tripping, but the Lord holds your hands. The Lord holds your hands. Then he continues by saying that in verse 20, 25, he said, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaking nor his seed begging bread. In other words, you cannot go with God and go wrong. You cannot walk with God and the Lord forsaking you. You cannot move with God and God abandon you in the middle of nowhere. You cannot serve Almighty God and your children's children, their children's children coming to do, to become nothing. If you walk with God in righteousness, in sincerity, as a good man's steps is being ordered by God, he said, I am young, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the Lord forsaking the righteous, neither his seed begging bread. So it meaning that our works are also being impacted in our children's life. Training up the child the way that he should go. Then when he is grown up, he will not depart from it. So many things that our God, as we walk with him, he is teaching us and filling us with all these things. Now watch in verse 26 of Psalm 37. He said, David said, God is ever merciful. Oh yes, indeed. God is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. And the man's seed is blessed. Everyone that will go God's way, the mercies of God will keep you going. You shall be fulfilling God's plan for your life and you'll be called home. Your children's behind, you are not to be worried about them, because Almighty God shall watch over this case. For the sake of David, the Lord shall watch over his seed. And then so, his advice to everyone who had made the decision to make the journey with Almighty God, in verse 27 of Psalm 37, he said, depart from evil and do good and dwell forever. Depart from evil and do good and dwell for forever. This is the man that is filled with the word of the living God. I said there are three sources of power to overcome sin. Number one, power, be filled with the word of God. Number two, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because when one is filled with the Holy Ghost, Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Holy Spirit gives us power to overcome sin. The Spirit in grace is called as Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us power to overcome sin. How does it work, by the way? You see, as David said, it's not about the fall. You will fall, but the Lord keeps holding you. But the consciousness of one to know that the Spirit of God is within him. And he has that Spirit as a helper. So everywhere or anything that we cannot by our own strength, the wisdom must be there that we have a helper. In time of need, grace picks us up. And the Spirit of grace is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what has been given for us to overcome sin. So every time that we enter into the arena of temptation and trials for the enemy to bring you down, your instinct must be, Lord, I need help here. Lord, your grace. I'm calling upon the grace of the living God for this situation. And then you will know that the Lord will pave a way for you to overcome that situation. And the last point, the last source of power to overcome sin is overcome temptation in private. Overcome temptation in private. What does it mean, overcome temptation in private? We thank God that you will not be putting on fake life. You will not be putting on church fake Christian. But truly, everything that proceeds out of you is from within. It's from within. That is why by their fruit we shall know them. So, if you are around, one leg in the church, another leg in the world, when the world is moving, you are with them. When church is moving, you are with them. And you are just, you yourself will know. That is one thing about God. He said, the Spirit of God beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So when you are a child of God, you don't need anyone to tell you. The demonstration of what you are even putting on does not even qualify you. In the sight of man must see you and say, oh, what a godly man. Oh, what a godly woman. Because of what you put on. But let me tell you, you are the only one that knows that indeed you are a child of God or you are not. Why? Because the Holy Spirit that is given beareth witness with your own spirit that you are a child of God. By your fruit, we shall know you. You are the only one struggling when you put your head on that pillow. So you are the only one that knows exactly what you are going through. You cannot bring the work of God down. You cannot bring the purpose of God down. But you can bring yourself to miss every purpose of God for your life. For your life. For your life. So, in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, and the verses 1 to 2, I'm talking about overcome temptation in private. Overcome temptation in private. Thank you, Lord. The wise say, he said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Hallelujah. As we have received mercy, we faint not. We faint not. That is the Hebrews 4:16 I was talking about. Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain what? Mercy. We have received the ministry of mercy. We faint not. We faint not. You might fall, but the Lord holds your hands. You might fall. The Lord still will uphold your hands and just pick you up again and stand on your feet. Seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. This is so powerful, and I'm going to explain. Because he's talking about overcoming sin in private. Overcoming sin when no one is seeing you. Overcoming sin when you are the only one who must make the decision. Overcoming sin when you are confronted with that decision, which might not be, you know, in your favor. But if you are going to make the choice, because that is what the word of God says, then probably man will stand against and say that you are foolish. But you know what? It is in line with the word of God. Along the line, the Lord knows how to put everything together in your life unto his glory. Overcoming sin in private. He said, having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, come to know our Lord Jesus Christ. You have to. Coming to know our Lord Jesus Christ, you have to renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. And that one, no one can help you. You are the only one that knows exactly what you do. You are the only one that knows when no one is around. You are the only one that knows what you are going through. What you do in private that we don't see. You are the only one that knows it. God sees you, definitely. So renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness. Not walking in craftiness. Dubious ways. Children of God that are walking in craftiness. In all enviness, backbiting, gossiping, putting stumbling blocks in the children of God, sometimes even in the work of God, putting stumbling block for God's work not to go. These things are part of walking in craftiness. Craftiness. Dubious way. But we say you are a Christian. Your deeds are not, you know, portraying Christian life. Your deed, the way that you carry yourself, the things that you do, these are some of the, we don't see you. We are talking about the overcoming the private sin. Things that no man's eyes are seeing. Pastor is not aware of it, but you are the only one that knows exactly what you are doing out there. You know, walking your life in craftiness. Not handling the word of God deceitfully. Not handling the word of God deceitfully. What does it mean? It means that the word that you receive is not profiting you. The word that you receive is not profiting you. Jesus Christ's word has not come to be flesh in your life. It has not been manifested to the extent that it's having impact on your daily life. You see? So the word, you hear it, but you are acquainted with the word. Acquainted in the sense that, oh, we have heard this before. You are not transformed by the word of God. You are a preacher. You stand at the pulpit preaching the word. But your life is not in line with the word of God. You are a worker called onto the Lord's vineyard. But the lifestyle that you are living in private is not bringing glory to Almighty God. Let me tell you, you are the only one that knows this. Almighty God sees you. But you're going to be judge of your own life. You are going to be judge of your own life. There is nothing. It is hidden in the sight of man. But it is not hidden in the sight of Almighty God. So, you know, not handling the word of God in deceitfulness, but, hallelujah, by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. By manifestation of the truth. Please, these words are powerful words to break the work of the enemy against your life, to break any form of captivity in your life so that you'll be able to move forth. This is the reason of this verse. He said that by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You are the only judge of what you do. We don't see you. It is only your conscience. Uh-huh. The Holy Spirit that is given, he is so great in that. The Old Testament believers, they couldn't overcome sin because they did not have that Holy Spirit. We have been repeating this over and over and over. What is it that the Holy Spirit does? When the Old Testament saint wanted to hear the word of God, they have to bring forth and read it unto them, to the congregation, for them to hear. That says the word of God. Today, not only you have access to the Bible, but also the word had been made flesh to us. And the Holy Spirit has been given. So if you are going through any temptation, any situation that you'll be going through, that you don't even know the word, what the word says about the situation, let me tell you, I guarantee you that the Holy Spirit will prompt you on that situation. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance that this situation is not going to glorify God. You need to do something. He will prompt you. The small, still voice will tell you that this is not something that will glorify God. Now it is up to you. It is up to you, your spirit. Either you are going to hear the word of the living God by his spirit, or you'll be hearing the sources of the world and go according to your own leaders and just brush out the, you know, the speech or the mind of the spirit in your life. So commanding ourselves to every man's conscience. Commanding ourselves to every man's conscience. The conscience of a man becomes so important here. The conscience of a man is so important because you are the one, since no one is here, pastor didn't see me, Christian brother, Christian sister didn't see me, so it is okay. It is not okay. It is not okay because your own conscience and the conscience in fellowship with God, in the sight of God, that is why I said that they that are operating with the spirit of the world become extremely dangerous because there is no fear of God. And they are ready to do anything. If they have to cut your life short, they don't care. All that they could see is the achievement of what they want to do. One must be careful. The conscience of man is extremely important. We thank God for everything. Let me conclude just right here by the promise that Christ has made to everyone and each one of us. The book of Revelation, chapter 3, and the verses 21 and 22. Jesus said, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcome and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Hallelujah. He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Please, you have heard the word of the living God. You have heard God's desire for man. God's greatest desire for man is for you to overcome. It's for you to walk in dominion. It's for you to be fruitful. It's for you to be multiplying. It's for you, most importantly, to dominion in the sense of overcoming sin and coming to bring to pass all that God, Almighty God, has called you to do. May the Lord God, who has given you the strength to perform what he has called you to do, bless his hand over your life in the name of Jesus. Bless his mighty work over your life in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for you, anyone that will stand, any power of the world that will stand against your life, against your family, against your children, to bring to naught the purpose of God for your life, shall fall in the name of Jesus Christ. The spirit that is in you is called the Holy Spirit. Because your own spirit is working with the Holy Spirit, the one that is in you is greater than any spirit that is in the world. You shall overcome in the world in the name of Jesus. May the Lord God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and bless you.
You just received a word from Pastor Charles Entry at Faith Victory Ministries International. For more messages and other great resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ, please be sure to visit us at faithvictoryministries.org. That's faithvictoryministries.org. And may God continue to bless.